Sports meets life with an unbiased perspective. This is your wake-up call with Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, part of the Dan Tortora Broadcast Media family. Happy to have you here listening in to the show that is here for you every single hour of every single day, folks. If you miss it, not a problem. You can get it here on WakeUpCallDT.com. You can also get it on your iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, whatever it may be, by going to WakeUpCallDT.com. Podbean, that's podbean.com/mobile, and clicking quick launch. That'll give you the application, or app for short, for those of you that use app. Most of us do. I don't know why I said application. My apologies. And you can also get it on Google Play for your Android and over 2,000 other devices, including Verizon tablets, whatever it may be. You can go ahead and go to the Google Play Store. Right now it is free, so get there and download it now. You can search Sports DT. That's S-P-O-R-T-S-D-T, D as in Dan, T as in Thomas. All you have to do is search Sports DT on the Google Play Store and make sure that you download it there, and you'll have the app as well. So those are two other ways to listen, and you can go straight to iTunes Podcasts and search Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. That's T-O-R-T-O-R-A. And you can also get us on Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/wakeupcalldt, and Twitter at calldt, C-A-L-L-D-T, which will give you links to every single show that goes up, including this show and everything that came before it, so, and everything that comes after it. Thank you for listening in. So many different ways to get involved. I'm happy to have you here today. And without further ado, I want to let you know that we have very special guests coming on the show from the 2013 incoming class for Syracuse football. We will be talking with Wayne Williams, who's coming in on the defensive line, as well as Isaiah Johnson, who is hoping to join him on the field on the defensive line. And we'll also talk to a player that can go both safety and cornerback, and that is Chauncey Schism, coming to the secondary, Fred Reed's secondary for Syracuse. Fred Reed in his first season as Syracuse's secondary coach, and Chauncey Schism coming into his first season with Syracuse in that secondary. So you'll hear from Chauncey Schism coming up shortly here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on Wake Up Call DT.com. Happy to have those three very special guests. Don't want to miss our conversations, folks. I've talked with these guys before, and you definitely want to sit and listen here. Or if you're driving, listen in. If you're doing a jog, whatever you're doing, make sure you don't miss these conversations. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. A lot of different topics we're going to cover today. Very happy to have Isaiah, Wayne, and Chauncey coming on to the show. Do not miss that, folks. But before we go there, I want to give a special thanks to Carvel DeWitt, Carry and Daily Physical Therapy, Dry Sig Apparel, and FanHands.com for being part of the Dan Tortora Broadcast Media family. And you can get more information on them right on the homepage of WakeUpCallDT.com. Their logos are there, a little description on what they do. Click on the logo. That'll take you straight to their website, and you can see how they can get involved in your life and how their products and services can best serve you moving forward with things that matter to you in your life. What matters to me and what matters to you listening here to the show today is what's going to happen with this Syracuse defense as it moves forward. And I want to talk to you about each of those positions and what I've seen so far from the spring moving forward, and what each player that we're about to talk about can offer this team. We'll start on the defensive line with the defensive end position, Micah Robinson. First guy I want to talk to you about, Micah rotating into this Tim Doust defensive line that was on rotator last season. I asked him about the depth chart and who was going to be where before the season started last fall. And Coach Doust said to me, he said, "Dan, listen, I don't really care who's on the depth chart because I'm going to rotate guys in. People are going to get opportunities. And I don't see any difference with Tim Doust from here. I think that obviously the guys that are playing better, you want to keep them in, but he's been blessed to have a lot of talent on his defensive line last season. So coming into this season, I think you're going to see a rotation as well. Micah Robinson should definitely be a part of this. I think he will be starting now. I think he will be a perpetual starter. This is a guy we're going to see from game to game. He can get through. He's found his ways at the defensive end position to break through the offensive line and attack the quarterback. Has been good in the running game, showed very good signs in this spring time that he had, and handling a dual threat quarterback. So I like Micah Robinson. I think he definitely showed me a lot last season, and I'm very excited about what he can do moving forward, because I believe this is a guy that had a good camp, and he has the opportunity to take this job and really hold on to it at the defensive end position, even if there is a rotation, to be a guy that's going to be out there more. And that's what I, as I had stated before, what I like about him is that he's not taking his foot off the gas. He keeps going after it. He keeps attacking the ball. He keeps going after whoever he needs to go after. And that's what I like about Micah. You know, he could slow down a little bit and say, I think I got this position in the bag because I played last season and there's not a lot of guys here. You know, Brandon Sharp moved on, and a guy like Deion Goggins that can play end and tackle, he's moved on. But Micah is just, he's continuing to go. He's got it in overdrive, and he's breaking through. I think it'll be exciting to watch him for Syracuse fans to attack through the middle, or to attack and get around the end and also break in the middle of the defensive line. I think you'll see him get through, and I think you'll see him attack the running game, and people will enjoy that. Another guy that I really liked last fall, Robert Welsh. This is a guy who left a very big impression on me, a positive one, from last fall, just in his abilities to get around. I mean, he's going up against Sean Hickey in that fall practice, Sean, who really stepped up, and Welsh was pushing him. Welsh was attacking him and going after it. If a guy like Lou Alexander had Robert Welsh on the other side, he's blown by him. And I know that Hickey's better than Alexander, but just to show you that on one side of the line, he's going and he's testing you, and then he'll go to the other side, and if you're not as good and you're not keeping up, he will blow by you. Robert Welsh is a guy that I thought deserved to be out there more last season. I understand Tim Doust, and I respect him for the decisions that he makes, and he's been running this line well since taking over as the defensive line coach last season. So in his second season now, I'm not going to go against whatever he feels is right, because he's definitely done a fine job with that part of the defense and that part of the team in general, and has really stepped up as a coach and shown me a lot to respect. I think that Robert Welsh can do a lot, and I think that his opportunity is now here, and he needs to grab a hold of it. Do not forget the number 94 for Robert Welsh as he moves forward. I'll be keeping a close eye on him and what he does in this fall. As I said, I think he had some good signs last fall, and now he really needs to step up because he has an opportunity to take a job that's going to put him out on that line more often and get him on there and be a more consistent guy on the defense for Tim Doust. Defensive tackle, Jay Bromley, he's a lock for me. This is a guy that definitely has to step up as a leader. This is his time to get out there. There's no Deion Goggins. There's no Brandon Sharp. Jay Bromley has to go out there and lead this defensive line, and I think he has the capability to do it. This is a guy who plays with a lot of heart, has a good mentality, a humble guy, a guy that likes to have fun, and a guy that likes to go out there and hit you hard. Jay Bromley is going to be a guy that's going to show some leadership this season, and he has to. Ryan Sloan at tackle also stepped up in the spring. This is a guy that I think has definitely made a move to be in discussion to be one of those starting tackle guys, a guy that's going to be out there for a while. Changed his number to number 99. It's not Zan Jones anymore. And Ryan Sloan has gotten in to the middle of the offense. He's attacked the run. Ryan Sloan will go and hit you once, and then the next play he'll be right back to hit you again. So I think that Ryan Sloan is somebody that you're going to hear more and more about if he can continue what he did in the spring, because he stepped up and he showed himself. And now he has to keep doing that, because Ryan Sloan was not a name on my radar last season, and now he is. And where he goes from here is truly up to him, but he has obviously stood out to me. Another guy is a junior college transfer, Zan Jones, who got himself on the field last season, went from being the guy that was yelled at the most in practice by Tim Doust to being a guy that was coming in rotation and attacking the running game. Zan Jones is somebody that I think will be in this rotation. If Ryan Sloan keeps playing well, I don't see Zan being in there right away to start a game, but he may get a couple starts throughout the season. I definitely think he's someone that you need to have out on the field. He only has one season left to play college ball, and I think that he would be someone that you need to have out there on the field just to give a different look, and has a big body, and like I said, caught on quickly when he needed to. Eric Kroom is another guy, if he can be healthy, has done good things at nose tackle, can play inside the defensive line and really affect this team in a positive way. So keep your eyes on Eric Kroom as well on that defensive line, someone that I believe will rotate in and had some good plays that he had last season in rotation. So somebody that you can't count out, despite the fact that I think that there is definite talent that should be out there the majority of the time in Jay Bromley. And if Ryan Sloan continues to do what he does, and Zan Jones being a part of that rotation as well. At linebacker, Marquise Spruill, who was placed at middle linebacker 2 seasons ago, then moved out for Siriki Diabate to come in at middle linebacker. Now Spruill has the opportunity to go back there. He most likely will, with everyone that's on the team. And this is the thing, it's nothing against Marquise, I just think he was better at outside, but where the team is now, you basically get an upgrade because of what's around you. Cameron Lynch is good coming off the edge, Josh Kirkland is new to the team, Dyshon Davis is good coming off the edge. So when you look at the other linebackers that you have on your squad, it only makes sense to put somebody back there that had experience in more recent times, and that's Marquise Spruill. I hope at this point, for Syracuse's sake, that he is able to build himself up a little bit more as a leader and be able to really take this Mike position, which is the quarterback of the defense. You got to call out the plays. You have to know what's going on around you. And your responsibility is to make sure that everybody behind you, in front of you, to the sides of you, are in the right place and know what they need to do. You need to look at those audibles, call out things that you see. So it's very important for Marquise Spruill to step up as a leader here, and this is what he truly needs to do because of the fact that he's really the guy that has to be here. Siriki Diabate did a great job, but his eligibility is done, so it's up to Spruill to make it happen here. Cameron Lynch, this is a guy that I like in rotation. I think that he should get more time out on the field than he does because he's able to get to the quarterback. He's fast off the edge. He can be somebody that can help you in the running attack to get after it in the open fields. I would like to see him get better at tackling and taking down guys by himself, but he is someone who's good in assistance. Josh Kirkland is the opposite. This is a guy that can take down guys by himself. Kirkland, a JUCO transfer coming out of junior college and really just showing a lot to Scott Schaefer, who went to Kansas, not even a look at Kirkland, and ended up seeing him and saying, you know, who's making all these plays on film? And then after that, going out and watching him in practice and really liking the kid. And Kirkland, you could see why he does. This is a guy that made a name for himself in spring practices, number 27 on the defensive side. And in that spring game, 2 hits that were just him to take somebody down. The first hit waiting for the receiver to come his way and knock him down. The other one, a shoulder to just take down a guy and truly let him know that he's there. This is the guy that's going to make those hits that you want to watch back on a highlight reel. Those game-changing hits to get the defense involved, get the team as a whole back into a game that they might be losing. Kirkland is a guy you can't keep off the field. And for Dyshon Davis, who was sidelined due to injury through spring practice, this is one of those things where they say, you know, when you go out injured, then these guys could step up and make a push and make a play for themselves, and that's what Kirkland is doing. I think Dyshon Davis definitely has that speed, unlike any other. Cameron Lynch can get close to it when it comes to linebacker, but Dyshon Davis is fast and like a ghost. When he gets to the quarterback or he gets to the backfield, those are the plays where he's barely touched, if touched at all. One of those guys that just sneaks his way in somehow, some way. And Dyshon Davis kind of went down a little bit in his sophomore season, and so he needs to step up. He needs to do more. He had some good plays. He had some positive moments, but this was a guy that was getting after the quarterback and laying heavy hits in his freshman season that made him noticeable. And then that notice kind of went down a little bit. The fact of knowing, you think about going from a guy who's a ghost in the sense that he can get to the backfield and get to the quarterback untouched to a guy who was a ghost on some plays because you didn't see him do anything that was really substantial. So this is the season to kind of differentiate which type of player Dyshon's going to be. But Josh Kirkland, I think, has earned himself a playing spot. Marquise Sproul is going to be in the middle. So between Cameron Lynch and Tyshawn Davis, I would say, you know, Davis gets that starting position because of his experience, because that's the way that Syracuse seems to go. However, you have a new head coach in Scott Schaefer, and you have a talented guy in Cameron Lynch who is deserving of having more of a starting role, be out on the field longer than he has been. And for the benefit of Syracuse, that should happen more often. So where Tyshawn and Cameron are going to be is going to be something that's going to be key to this team, how they utilize these four guys that I believe should all be on the field. Definitely Josh Kirkland having the best camp that I saw from a linebacker. At the cornerback position, Keon Lynn, he's a perennial starter. He's back. This is a guy that I've said before has his moments where he's a shutdown corner, and then he has moments where he gives you two steps, lets you catch the ball, and then tries to get at you after you've already gained yardage and try and knock you out of bounds after your first down or close to the end zone. So this is somebody that you can see that he has the talent, but it almost looked like he took plays off. Well, in spring practice, Keon Lynn was not taking plays off. He was getting his hand in to break up passes. He was close to his receivers and truly looked like a veteran that wanted to set an example for other players in the secondary and set an example for the defense as a whole. So I think that if his leadership is where it looks like it has been throughout spring, then Keon Lynn's going to be a better corner than he has been in recent years. Brandon Reddish, this is a guy who you didn't hear about a lot. Good in coverage, though, and that's the reason why some people have made the statement you don't hear about Brandon, because he was doing his job. Brandon Reddish is a guy that I think definitely has to step up here. Rashard Anderson, to me, who has been the starter and has his final season of eligibility, Rashard is just too penalty prone. This is somebody that gets himself in a lot of trouble with pass interference, not facing the ball. Did he get faster last season? Yes. Was he one of the reasons why USC didn't win by more? Yes. But at the same time, that was one good game by Rashard Anderson, and still with his speed, he wasn't breaking up passes. He wasn't stopping guys. They were getting 80-yard runs before he got after them. So, yeah, he prevented the touchdown initially, but as far as the yardage gains, not a guy who's going to shut you down, not a guy who's going to contest you man-on-man, not somebody that's going to break up a lot of passes, not somebody who's going to grab a lot of interceptions. So why he's been a starter is beyond me. And at this point, Brandon Reddish, who's had the experience, who's going into his junior season, he's been on the field. I think for what he's been able to do to surpass his personal best in tackles for a single game, getting his first college sack last season, getting his first interception last season, breaking up passes, forcing fumbles, he has shown you on paper that he is capable of being out there and disrupting offenses. Rashard Anderson hasn't shown me that. So, to me, Brandon Reddish should get the nod, but Rashard Anderson might still find time on the field because it's his final season. At safety, we look at the fact that Shamarco Thomas, one of the hardest-hitting guys, the hardest-hitting guy for Syracuse, one of the hardest-hitting guys across the country that's looking to lay those hits for the Pittsburgh Steelers now, he's gone. So Richie Dozier and Wayne Morgan had these opportunities at the strong safety position. Richie Dozier is a guy who's used in the punt returns and bringing the ball back. He's a guy who has made some good plays, has disrupted some plays, but at the same time, you're looking at somebody who's going to hit hard. I think that people have to lay off the fact that Shamarco Thomas needs to have a clone immediately because these are different type players. Richie can make some good hits. And then Wayne Morgan, who has moved to safety, my question with Wayne is what he's going to be able to do. Corner was not really his game, didn't really get out on the field. Now playing safety, can he be that guy that can enact hits? Can he disrupt the running game? Can he get into the backfield? And can he really make a push for what needs to be done? That's left to be seen in what Wayne Morgan can be to this team. So I think that what he's going to be doing here in fall camp is going to be vital to where he ends up on the field, but the move to safety could be a benefit for him and for Syracuse's defense, and especially with Reddish stepping up and Keon Lynn stepping up, doesn't really look like he would have a consistent job either way. With Jeremy Wilkes, who we look at free safety, this is somebody who was a starter last season. He was asked the season before to play corner, to get out there and play on special teams, make tackles. He was all over the place. Went out on special teams, and then due to injuries to Keon Lynn and Rashard Anderson, was asked to go out and play corner and did a good job, was able to make plays in man-to-man coverage and really step up. And what I like from Jeremy Wilkes, and I think he doesn't always get credit for, is that even though he's in the secondary, he's made plays at that linebacker position in the sense of he's gotten to the middle of the defense and made plays, and he's helped out the defensive line and made plays sacking the quarterback and rushing the quarterback out of the pocket. So in each piece of the defense, he's been involved. Even though he's part of the secondary, he's been in all three parts. And so I think Jeremy Wilkes, who doesn't get a lot of credit, has that man-to-man coverage that you like to see if you're somebody that wants to shut down a passing game. And if you're playing football, you obviously want to be that person. So Jeremy Wilkes, to me, I think, will keep this position. Darrell Eskridge, safety in rotation. Last season, I felt like he deserved to be a starter. He truly stepped up, made a name for himself. Hard hits, getting after the ball, disrupting passing lanes. 36 tackles and forced a fumble last season. What he's been able to do in fall practice of last season, going into last season, showed me that he should be on the field. And I actually put him down as a starter. And then seeing him in rotation has shown you his speed, his hard-hitting nature, which is very needed right now with Shamarco Thomas gone. But he had surgery on May 1st, and his status for the upcoming season is currently uncertain. If he is able to play, you would like to think that they would just fit him in wherever need be, because he can play the strong safety position or the free safety position. Really just go out there and help the secondary with speed, getting after the ball, and his hard-hitting nature, and the fact that he can get in there and break up some pass attempts is very important. So Darrell Eskridge, to me, his health is important in general, personally, to get better. And at the same time, professionally, it's important for Syracuse's defense to have a guy like him in their arsenal. That wraps up the defensive side of things for the Syracuse Orange football squad and what I think so far throughout the spring and heading into the fall for this team. Before we go and talk with Wayne Williams and also get on the phone Isaiah Johnson and Chauncey Schism, I want to take the time to take a look at special teams here. The third phase that doesn't always get a lot of respect but is vital to Syracuse's game. When they weren't making tackles in special teams, they were losing games. So very important here to pay attention to special teams and what they can offer and the points that they can offer. Ross Krautmann coming back as the kicker. This is no surprise. Last season was the starter. Had some trouble, but came back and did his job. His field goal percentage is third best for all Orange kickers in history at 78.7%. He's made 48 field goals, putting him in Syracuse's top five all-time at number four for field goals made. And he's also made 43 extra points in the 2012-2013 season, which is a new single-season record for the Orange. He will come back as kicker. Ryan Norton will be behind him, could continue to take those kickoff duties and be there as a backup in case needed. But Ross Krautmann doing plenty to keep him the starter, so I don't look to see any change there. At punter, Jonathan Fisher's really stepped up. Shane Roppers, he was sharing time with when he first came in. Now Fisher having some good punts, getting good placement, and getting out there and having better hang time and just doing a good job. I mean, in the spring game, he really showed that he can get the ball up in the air and get some time for the special teams guys to get downfield and make a play for the ball. So credit to Jonathan Fisher, definitely doing his job, and you cannot downplay a punter because he puts the opposing team where they're going to be to start their drive. And Fisher has stepped up in that respect in the spring game, showing that he can do better from that position. Riley Dixon will be behind him most likely. And then short snapper, long snapper, Sam Rogers looks to take the duties of these. He had both of the duties in all of the team's games last season, as well as the New Era Pinstripe Bowl. So look to Sam Rogers to continue to be the short snapper and long snapper. Another position, probably the position that's talked about the least and respected the least when it comes to conversation. This is the guy that's making sure that the ball gets where it needs to be to protect and also to help in protection, to make sure that what's being done is done, that this ball is out and it is to who it needs to be to and away from the opposing team. So Sam Rogers is a guy who you have to give a lot of credit to. I've spent time around short snappers and long snappers before on a professional team, and the spin that they get on the ball and the distance they have to throw this ball from underneath is really remarkable that they could do this. So don't underplay Sam Rogers and what he's been able to do at these positions, or anybody that's playing these positions in football. On the return team, Jeremiah Cobina, he has the speed and he has a quick start. This is a guy that's been used on kick returns before. I believe that he should be used on punt returns, because on a punt return, we just talked about hang time from Jonathan Fisher, the ball's up in the air longer, and the guys are running down the field. They have a better chance to be right next to you when you catch the ball. Well, for somebody that needs to have a speed burst initially, this is very vital to have somebody that's going to return punts for you that can literally take their first step as if they've been running for 20 yards already, that they can pick up speed as if they've already been running. And Jeremiah Cobina can do that. So it's startling to me that he hasn't gotten this opportunity. Richie Dozier has good hands, but Jeremiah Cobina has the ability to get through opposing tacklers quickly. He can make good moves, fast moves. He knows how to move in traffic. Would be a great New York City driver. So Jeremiah Cobina, to me, should be out there driving Syracuse's punts back, or the punt returns back, and we'll look to see what he can do, what they'll allow him to do. But a guy that should definitely be driving these punts back, in my mind, as far as what you need from talent that is offered. George Morris, Devontae McFarland, these are guys that can get out there and help on kick returns, because of the fact that when you have a depth at running back like Syracuse does, at least five or six deep, six if you count Ashton Broiled, essentially you want to get these guys on the field because they're talented. Devontae McFarland has shown some positive signs through the spring. George Morris has done the same. So to get these guys out on the field, get them a feel for what they need to do, getting between tackles, making good decisions, getting their speed out, showing if they can break a tackle, stiff arming. It's good experience for these guys to get out there, and very important if an injury happens, which you never like to see, but just in case it was to happen, you want to have guys that are prepared to go out there and handle the game. And these guys, I think, have shown that they deserve to be on the field. Definitely George Morris to me. Devontae McFarland, I'd like to see a little bit more, but these could be options for you. Punt returns, like I said, Richie Dozier has been the guy that took it away from Steven Rene, who really wasn't making good decisions on punt returns. Dozier should continue to take this, in my mind, because of his good hands and because he can get positive yardage. But, as I stated, Jeremiah Cobina, a better guy behind that wheel to drive this team when they're on punt returns. That's a look at the special teams. We'll take a step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com, and then Wayne Williams will join me here from Brooklyn to talk with you on coming to Syracuse, his history, and so much more. Very excited to have Wayne Williams on here. We have a lot to talk about, and that'll be happening right here on WakeUpCallDT.com. exclusively.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves and how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carey and Daly Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, you can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at CareyandDalyPT.com. That's C-A-R-E-Y and D-A-L-E-Y-P-T.com.
We're here with a very special guest. I want to welcome him into the show for the first time. Have not spoken to him here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora before, but happy to finally have him on here. Wayne Williams coming to Syracuse from Brooklyn. Some Brooklyn players already on the Syracuse Orange, and he's happy to be representing that. Let's bring him in and talk to him here. Wayne, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Happy to have you here on the show. And let's get started with that Brooklyn area and what it means to you apparently I can't speak today. What does it mean to you to continue that bridge between Syracuse and Brooklyn?
Oh, it means a lot. Brooklyn in particular has a lot of great players, as long as the whole New York City area. And, you know, not being a big pipeline like Florida or Texas or a place like that, we don't get the opportunity that a lot of great kids take for granted, like a kid from Florida or a kid from Texas or a kid from Alabama. So we're usually the last place a recruiter comes. So when we get a chance, we try to put on for New York as best as we can. So it's real great for me to continue this and show Brooklyn, like a Dominic Easley and Ishaq Williams, all the great players that we have here that they need to come recruit.
Looking at what Syracuse has done before to go into Brooklyn, just talk about some of those players. We've talked about them before, but here on the show we haven't. Wayne Morgan, Brandon Reddish, Ivan Foy. Let's go down the line and just tell me what you think of these guys.
Well, starting off from the person with the same name as me, Wayne Morgan, a great kid coming out of Erasmus Hall, a lot to speed. I didn't even think he was going to be on the defensive side of the ball because he had great speed, so I'm thinking maybe he'll be running back, something like that. But he's a great kid who brings a lot of attitude, continues to bring the Brooklyn flag along with me. Ivan Foy, he's like a brother to me, a twin. He plays great power with great speed, too, great hands. He has nice feet work because he used to play basketball, just like myself. And I think out of all of us, Brandon Reddish has the highest football IQ I've ever seen. He always knows where to be, has a great nose for ball, and he's a tough kid, even though he's small. He's tough, so he's another great kid. Terrell Hunt, he's a natural-born leader. Anything you say, he'll get it done for you. And he was the most impressive person at that spring ball game that I watched. I'd never seen Terrell Hunt in his zone like that before. So that's real great seeing. Ryan Sloan's a great defensive tackle. He has stuff to work on, but I'm sure once we get up there together, we can start working together, and we can only get better together. And unfortunately, Devon Walls is not there, who's my big brother, and having him on my team with me would have been great.
Looking at, you know, everything that happened in that respect with Devon Walls, what can you say about this? I mean, this is somebody that has been a big brother to you, someone that has put you under his wing, as you've said to me before. To know that he's not going to be on the defensive line with you, you know, just go into that.
He's just a great guy with a great personality. Like, even when the stuff happened and I was sitting there feeling my type of ways, he was always telling me, little bro, keep focused, Syracuse is for you, and come in here, get your work done so you can get out of it. He didn't try to persuade me not to come to Syracuse after they kicked him off the team or anything like that. He's a stand-up guy, and like, if anything was to happen, I could sit there and take the stand and vouch for him because he's a great guy, and I know that's not his character. So everything, hopefully God works out everything, and he'll be okay.
Looking at the defensive line without him, some of those relationships that you have, who have you really built a close relationship with on the defensive line? Is there somebody that's really been helping you along getting ready to come to Syracuse?
I didn't really get I met a few players. I met Kroom, I met Z, Bromley, who's another New York City kid. I forgot to name him. But I know all those guys, you know, coming up there a lot, visiting. But the main person I kept in touch with since I got into ASA was Ivan Foy. He's always telling me, yo, bro, you got to get your act together. It's time to leave Brooklyn. We got some money to make. So that's who I've been in touch with all the time, step by step. He knows every move on the way.
You've told me before that Ivan Foy is the Hispanic version of you. What do you mean by that?
He's my brother. Like, we're twins. There's nothing he doesn't like that I doesn't enjoy, too. So when I say he's a Hispanic me, if I came out Mexican, Spanish, any type of Hispanic heritage, it'll be Ivan Foy, just like me.
When you look back in those moments with Ivan Foy and what you've been able to do together, you guys going up against each other in high school and what that atmosphere was like, just bring me into a game where you're going up against Ivan Foy and what that experience was like.
Oh, I have to go to the championship game, which they beat me in, Just going against Ivan Floyd, knowing that this is going to be his power position, this is what he's going to make his money at. I wanted to show people, him being the top recruit just like me, that it doesn't matter who you put in front of me, friends or not, I'm a competitor first. So going against him and then winning best defensive lineman, it was a great feeling, because you know that Ivan is not a pushover, if you want to say that. So going against him, giving him work, having 2 sacks, 4, 8 tackles that game, and deflecting passes on him, it was just a great feeling. Even though he got the championship, I feel like I won the war.
When you have an opportunity to finally get on the field again and going into practice and having the potential of going up against him in practice, what does it mean to you to be able to do that?
It means a lot. Like, to put on a Syracuse jersey, hopefully I have my number 75 on the back of me, my last name Williams, and then seeing you lining up, stretching with all your friends, and then going against the person who you've been going against your whole life, it can only be a great feeling. It can only be a great feeling, because this is what you've been doing for so long, and now you're doing it at the next level with the same people you've been doing it with. So it's a blessed feeling.
If I asked you to define this defense with all of the guys that you've talked about, and even more so than that, when you look at Syracuse's defense, how do you define it?
We're a raw team. We're gonna line up, and we're gonna give you whatever you take from us. We're going to sit there. If you throw the ball, we're going to pick it off. You run the ball, we're going to stop it. It doesn't really matter. That's how I see it. Especially watching the West Virginia game and seeing how they manhandle West Virginia, watching them play against USC, watching all these big games where they should have won and they had the opportunity to win. We just didn't have the pieces and the puzzles. And I think this recruiting class that's coming in, along with myself, we can help be those pieces of the puzzle. We can get those big wins.
The ACC. What are your feelings on it? I mean, you're coming from junior college here, going up against the ACC. It's Syracuse's first time against the ACC, Clemson, Florida State, a lot of talent out there. What are your thoughts on the ACC?
I looked at our schedule, and I said, there's no way I can't make the NFL off the schedule. I'm not coming here to Syracuse to sit here and play around and just play football. I want to be a top player. I want to be the best. I want to be nationally known. And I want people to know all over who Wayne Williams is. So having a schedule like this will definitely get the chance to showcase my skills and talents, and along with bringing the Syracuse name and bring Swagger back.
When you get out there and you finally have an opportunity to get on the field in the fall and start practicing fully with this team, the coaching staff, and everyone, what type of accomplishment are you going to feel inside, knowing that you're coming out of junior college and you're giving yourself 2 seasons potentially on a Division I-A program?
Well, the best accomplishment is not having my mom have to pay for school. That's something that I really cherish the most, having the ability to play football and not have to pay for anything. That's the best accomplishment. Next will have to be winning games and just being happy to get out of junior college, because junior college is a hard struggle and a hard grind, and a lot of kids are over there suffering. So when you really find a kid that makes it out and tries to make an impact, you can only imagine what he's been through. So I cherish that the most out of everything. So it's a lot of feelings. I'm just going to be happy to play football again, honestly.
What have you taken from your days at ASA for junior college? What are you going to take with you that's going to help you the most?
Knowing where you came from. That's going to be the most I take with me. ASA is really a struggle. No funny, it's really a struggle over there. So the fact that, you know, I went to the visits and I see them in the ice baths and trainers and getting taped up and all that, we don't got none of that. It's just football. So to see them, how they're living right now, and to see how I was living with like 6 people in a room, I can't go back to that. So I'm going to cherish that for a fact.
When you finally get here, go back to some of the coaches that you've had. You know, we've talked about them before. Who are the coaches that have really attributed to making this possible for you?
I have to say Coach Fagan from New Rochelle and Coach O'Connor from Lincoln. They never left my side. Honestly, I didn't really get the bond with my coaches at ASA the way I should have. But I'm glad I had other coaches around me that kept me focused and always told me, don't worry what situation or card you're dealt. You always make the best of your hand, and that's what I did at ASA.
moving forward and having an opportunity. Let's look at this team. You had a chance to come up for the spring game to see Syracuse play. What was it like being there for the spring game and seeing what your future holds?
It was a great, because as I'm watching the game, we look great. We look great on both sides of the ball, and that's something that I could really look forward to. And then to see how much people came to turn out for just the spring game, I can only imagine how I was going to be during the season. And to even think that we're moving to the ACC, that's just going to bring nothing but more fans because of the bigger program that we're in. So I just want to come out there and showcase my talents, really. It could be nothing but greatness that comes out of this opportunity.
You've said to me before about Coach Doust making the statement to you to keep in shape, and you said, how do you keep a 300-pound lineman in shape? Just go into those words and what you meant by that.
Oh, I just meant, like, you know, being a 300-pound lineman, you know, running is something that any lineman my size don't want to do all the time. But, you know, if you want to be the best, you've got to put in the work that comes with it. So it's hard not having a team to run with. You're running by yourself. You're going to the gym by yourself. So I just got to get the inside motivation to really want this, and which I do really want this, to do it myself. So, you know, I got to stay on top of my running, watch what I eat, do my push-ups, do my dips, my squats and stuff like that, and I'm good. I trust me, I'll be in shape by the time I come to Syracuse.
If I asked you to describe yourself on the field, what would you say?
A man-child, hands down. I don't think there's anybody that could stay in front of me on a one-on-one in a three technique. And if I get double-teamed, I know I can stand my ground and clog up the hole. So it's not much that I really can't do on the defensive line. And if I really want to do something extra, I can move outside the end and rush the edge. So I think my game's pretty good, and I hope the coach that Syracuse get me even better, which I know Coach Doust can, so I'm just ready to learn more.
Coach Doust, you brought him up. What, you know, the defensive line coach there for Syracuse, what does he mean to you?
He means a lot, because when I first got introduced to him, I feel like he really hit it off, and he was more excited than me probably to come to Syracuse. So that's a great feeling coming from a coach coming in as a JUCO transfer. You know, a lot of JUCO transfers are usually wary, and you have to watch them. So I was just happy that how much credit he was giving me. And even Coach Schaefer, before he was the head coach, when he was the coordinator, they were both very excited to see me. So now that they're the head coach, and Coach Doust and Coach Schaefer's like best friends, it can only mean that I'm in a better position than I was before. So he's a great person to have around, and he talks to me like he's my best friend. So hopefully our connection will build any stronger.
How did you know what when Doust is around you talking about Swaggercuse and everything that you brought up, and just how do your personalities gel together? Bring me in, make me a fly on the wall when you guys are having a conversation.
Oh, I don't think I can tell you everything that we talk about, because Coach Doust is a crazy guy, but he makes sure to tell me, don't worry, we're going to sit here, we're going to have fun, and we're going to beat people up while we do it. He makes me feel that whatever I do wrong, everything could be corrected, and I can't do no wrong. He just wants me to be a kid, be the guy that I am, which is a funny character, always smiling, always laughing, and bring my Brooklyn attitude. That's what he tells me all the time, and we make jokes on the way, and it doesn't stop. So it's nothing but fun and football.
Bring in a guy like Daniel Mark Sears with you to the spring game, wide receiver from ASA as well. Hearing that Syracuse, you know, might not be taking an opportunity on him, he was telling me that Coach Doust is going to try and help him find another home, even if it's not Syracuse. You know, what can you say about the situation with Mark Sears?
Oh, it's just an unfortunate event. Daniel Mark Sears is a great player, a great football player, and which he brings that a lot of people don't have. He has a Brooklyn attitude. He's not going to let nobody get the best of him. And the fact that he's 6'7" and he runs a 4.4 only makes things worse for opposing players that try to guard him on defense. And the boy could jump out the field. He I don't know what his vertical is, but if you see him with a basketball, you know he can jump. So it'll be a huge loss to Syracuse if we don't get him. But he's gonna be in a great place, and I'll see him in the NFL soon, if anything.
Being the guy that you are, and being the recruiter that you're trying to be, what makes you want to be that way for Syracuse? What makes you want to help them? Because you've yet to play a down on the field, yet you're still trying to get people to come to Syracuse, even though you've yet to play there. What makes you want to be that way?
Coach Tomo taught me since young. He said, if you want something done, you have to go out there and do it yourself. So if I want to be the best and I want to have the greatest record and I want to win the ACC and I want to win the national championship, I got to support myself with the characters around that's going to get a job done with me. So if I got to go out there in Brooklyn and go to schools like I'm Coach Altamo, I'll be Coach Altamo for the year and I'll go out there and recruit the best of the best. I'm not going to bring nobody to Syracuse that's not going to be able to ball. So I'm just using my spotlight right now to get better players, and hopefully they'll come, and hopefully we'll offer them, and we'll just get nothing but better. We can't get nothing but better. We're already down. All we got to do is go up.
When you see how the team's performed and what you're stepping into, it was the Big East last year, but Syracuse went through a lot of adversity, but they lose a lot of players, lose two guys on the offensive line, lose Deion Goggins on the defensive line, and then you look at the fact that some of the receivers are gone, whatnot, quarterback is gone, so it's an open competition. How do you view the team right now? I know you've said positive things since we've talked here, but what is your view of the team having lost a lot of talented players that are capable of obviously playing in the NFL?
It's not a huge loss. I know people might say it that way, but people leave every year in all schools, all over the nation. So those guys are moving on to bigger and better things. All we have to worry about is the kids that we have in the program right now and get them to where those guys will be and hopefully push them beyond that limit where they get farther, where they'll be higher even draft round picks, because that's what it matters at the end of the day. We're molding men to get ready for the NFL, and that's what I want to do when I get to Syracuse. I want to mold myself perfectly to the NFL. So let's just get all the guys we got right now and be the best that we can be. We can't have another Nassib. We can't have another Goggins. We can't have those guys back. We just have to get better.
When you look at the time that you have as a junior college player coming in, the two seasons as opposed to four, is that a hindrance at all to you? Does that affect you in any way, or are you just the type of player that says, well, you know, I got to get better faster?
I'm very hard on myself. I don't like not being the best. I shared the spotlight with Eshaq Williams, who's a national recruit kid, so it's hard. You want to be the best, and you want to do it for yourself. You're not doing it for the fame. You're not doing it for the money. You're doing it for yourself. You honestly want to be the best. So when I'm out there, I'm just trying to be the best every day, getting better, getting a little bit better every day. So that's how I go about every day at practice, every day football, and especially on game day.
When you see a team like Syracuse taking guys from junior college, and it seems like more and more now, a guy like Kirkland really showing up at the spring game and through spring practice coming from junior college. Goggins was a JUCO guy. Zan Jones on the defensive line is a JUCO guy. When you see all, and Marcus Pierce Brewster was before, you know, everything happened, when you see these junior college players coming over, Chris Clark as a wide receiver, now yourself, what does it mean to you that Syracuse has really not only built a bridge with Brooklyn, but they've built a bridge with junior college players?
I think they're doing a great job with junior college kids, because junior college kids really don't have it sweet, and they know that they're coming to play and they're ready because they've been through a lot. Junior college is not fun. You can ask any junior college kid that came out of anywhere, they'll tell you that junior college is not a great experience, that we all trying to reach D1. So once we get there, we don't ever want to go back. So we work twice as hard as the kids that came out of their freshman year out of high school. So having to build a relationship with junior college kids is a great deal, because most of the kids that they're recruiting are coming out to play right now. So it's a great thing for recruiting.
I want to go a little bit off the field here and ask you about, you know, family, friends, whatnot. When I talk to you about who matters most to you, who has the biggest effect on your life, who has that been?
My mom and my little brother, hands down. They make sure that they're with me. My mom's a single mother. She raised me and my little brother, and she made sure that we always had what we needed to be what we wanted to be. My little brother plays the trumpet. He's in a music school. He's the best at his program. And me, I wanted to play football, and she made sure I had everything to be the best I can in football. So without her, it's not a lot that I could accomplish.
Knowing everything that your mom did to work to help you, what does it make you want to do moving forward in your life, to know that not just with you, but with your little brother, as a single mom, she did everything that she could to try and make these opportunities possible?
I tell her all the time, my first check is going to her. We're going to get a big house, you know, give her as many cars she wants, jewelry. And she always tells me, even though I want to give her the world, that she doesn't want that. She just wants a little house and a Nissan Murano. Like, I don't know why, but that's what she always been telling me since I told her I'm going to make it big, just watch. So thank God she doesn't want too much, but I'm going to give her everything as soon as I get the chance to be able to take all the bills off her shoulders.
Coming out of Brooklyn, knowing that, you know, this is now going to be a new experience for you to be at Syracuse, when you look back, when you finally take your bags, you get in the car, on the bus, however you're getting there, and you head to Syracuse, when you turn around and you look at Brooklyn behind you, what are you going to think?
I made it. A lot of people my age don't get to make it out of Brooklyn. We don't get to go nowhere. They're sitting there on the corner in the street until they die, unfortunately. So me being one of the few people that get to make it out of Brooklyn, it's just going to be a humbling experience, you know. And it's sad that I got to leave my brother and my mom behind, but it's just going to motivate me more to hurry up and get them out of there, because Brooklyn is definitely not a dream. It's a nightmare.
You, on the other side of an offensive lineman, no matter who it is, what do you want them to know about you when you get down in the dirt and put your hand on the ground?
You better come to work. Bring your A game. Lace your cleats tight. Tie your chest pads tight. Make sure your helmet's on straight, because I'm coming. Practice, I'm coming. Game day, I'm coming. Bring your A game, because you're going to get this work.
Well, I appreciate it, as always. I appreciate the conversation and you always being open to talk. I know that you have, you know, obviously, you know, put in a lot of work. I have a friend that came out of Brooklyn. My grandmother came out of Brooklyn. So it's good to hear somebody else coming out of Brooklyn. And I believe that you owe me a jersey, you know, making these dreams a reality. I believe that there's a jersey that I'll be waiting for.
Definitely, man, definitely.
Well, thank you. You know, I appreciate everything, and we'll definitely let you know when this goes up onto the website. But I can't thank you enough for coming on, and it's really been great to talk to you, and I look forward to being able to meet you face-to-face hopefully soon.
Thank you. I will meet you soon.
Once again, that being Wayne Williams coming into Syracuse in the 2013 class as a junior college transfer, so we'll have a couple seasons to help affect that defensive line in a special way. Definitely wants to get out onto the field, and you can hear his passion from our conversation that we just had there. A guy that's truly fun to talk to, exciting, has that comedy to him. All these guys have a personality to them that makes them exciting to talk with, so hopefully you enjoyed that, folks. And then looking forward, Wayne Williams getting on the field, it'll be exciting to see what he brings to the field, because he definitely is a guy that wants to show you that he deserves to be out there and enjoys the fact that Syracuse has that bridge to Brooklyn and is trying to recruit for Syracuse, help Syracuse bring guys in before he's even stepped foot onto the field, which says a lot about what Syracuse has done as far as their impression on him and how much he cares about the team and the organization and what Syracuse is trying to build, making statements about guys like Wayne Morgan, Brandon Reddish, Ivan Foy being on the team, and Ivan Foy being a high school guy that used to go up against him, and having that experience, having Ivan Foy on the other side of him, making the statement of the championship game where he gets top for defensive linemen on his side, but Ivan Foy gets the championship trophy. So the battle and the war, the statement that he brought up, and happy to be back there with Ivan Foy, happy to have the opportunity to be on the field with him on the same team for the first time. So a lot of interesting connections Wayne Williams has, and obviously interesting personality. We'll take a step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com, part of the Dan Tatora Broadcast Media family. You'll hear from Carvel DeWitt, Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy, and I want to give a special thanks to Drysick Apparel and FanHands.com. When we come back, Chauncey Schism, incoming member of the 2013 freshman class, coming in for the secondary to help out where needed with Fred Reed, the new secondary coach. Chauncey Schism, up next, right here and only here, exclusively on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora. Stay tuned.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves and how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carey and Daily Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, You can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at CareyandDalyPT.com. That's Carey and Daleypt.com.
We're here on the line with Chauncey Schism of Syracuse Orange coming in for the 2013 class in the secondary. And before we get talking about the season that is coming and so much more, let's welcome him into the show. Chauncey, how you doing?
Doing good. How about you?
Doing well. Happy to have you here. And first and foremost, Chauncey, let's go back to the beginning and where it all started for you. Why football? What made you want to play this sport?
Well, actually, I started playing football in fourth grade. I remember my mom, she was real hesitant to let me play, but finally won her over, and ever since then, it's been uphill from there.
And how did you have to win her over? Is there anything you had to do specifically to get her to let you do it? I mean, how much did you have to beg to get mom to let you play football?
Well, I did what, any 9-year-old kid would do, just keep asking, just keep begging, for anything you ever wanted, and finally she just gutted up and let me play.
And having the opportunity to get in and play, where did you start? Were you always somebody that enjoyed the secondary? Did you play all over the field? Where did you really start playing?
Well, my size, I played running back when I first started, but then I started moving all around as I got older and competition got a little higher, so I was all over the field.
And how was it playing running back? What was it like thinking back on those days?
That's where I really started. I thought that's what I was actually going to be playing the rest of my life. When I came up to my freshman year is the first year I moved from running back. Running back, it was a great experience. I loved making those cuts through the holes and running past defenders, stiff arming and everything like that. So kind of missed those days.
Now, missing those days, but now having the opportunity to go up against a running back, has it helped you that it was in your history, that you know what it's like to be a running back, what it entails to be a running back? Does that help you out in the secondary when you're lining up against them?
Oh, yes, definitely, because it helps a lot, because you can see as holes are being created and where running backs are going to be able to hit, and you can almost determine the next move with your instincts, being that I have played there before.
And when you look on your high school days and what you've accomplished there, going out throughout your career, where did you really start going into the secondary and playing corner?
My freshman year was my first year playing on the secondary on the varsity level. I got called up I started on varsity freshman year, actually, and ever since then I've been in the secondary.
And just talk about your experience there, what you've taken away from your time in high school. What has it taught you in these last few years?
Over the past 4 years playing secondary, taught me a lot. You have to be patient in the secondary. You have to wait for things to happen, guarding. When you're guarding receivers and things like that, you have to stay disciplined. You don't want to bite on a lot of things. So it's really just taught me how to let things develop in front of you and be patient and react when things happen.
And, as far as, what you love the most about playing the position, being in the secondary, what is it that you truly enjoy being on that side?
You get to be a lot more physical on that side of the ball. You don't have to worry about offensive interference and things like that. You can really get in an opponent's head, and when you're coming off the ball physical, and you're going to hit them every time. So just that aggressiveness and having that edge to you every down, just that really makes me excited to play defense.
And when you look at the defense and what Syracuse has put together, looking at the secondary, Shamarco Thomas, in this most recent draft, he's a fourth-round pick. He's going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Even though you didn't get a chance to play with him, does it excite you? Does it make you happy to know that you're going to a school that just put a guy in the NFL from the secondary?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I had a little talk with Shamarco at the spring game. He's just basically telling me to enjoy my next few years here and you know, go and show out when I'm on the field and just do the best that I can. And, you know, it's great to be coming in after a guy like him with all the effort and, you know, greatness he's brought to Syracuse. So, you know, it's a good feeling to come in after a guy like him.
And looking at the guys that are already out there in the corner position, do you have any relationships with anybody that's on the team, you know, be it a safety or a corner? Is there anyone that you've tried to keep in touch with?
I haven't really kept in touch with a lot of them, but, you know, I'm familiar with some, had some conversations with some of them when I've been up there. So we've been, you know, I go up, we've kept in a little contact, but nothing major.
Looking on the other side at the receivers that Syracuse has, when you went to the spring game and you got to see those guys, is there any wide receiver that stood out to you?
You know, I saw one touchdown pass to Jared West, and he looked pretty good coming off the line and things like that. So he was one receiver that stood out to me.
As far as knowing that you're going to be going up against these guys soon enough, what does it mean to you to be realizing this dream and have an opportunity to play not only football in college, but you're playing at the highest level?
Oh, you know, this is a great accomplishment for me. This is what I've been working for my whole life. And me and my parents, you know, we're very proud. And I'm glad I've actually, you know, finally get this opportunity that I've been working hard for. So, you know, it's a great blessing. And I'm thankful that I've been able to get this opportunity that a lot of kids, you know, they want, but a lot of them don't get it. And I'm just thankful and I'm grateful that I've been able to get it.
When you have this opportunity moving forward and you talk with a guy like Fred Reed, you know, and your secondary coach, how familiar are you with him and you know, your relationship with him?
Oh, you know, me and Coach Reed, we've become closer as the season approaches. You know, he gave me a little call to introduce himself to me a few months back. And ever since then, I've kept in contact with him. He's a great guy, and I'm very excited to play underneath him.
Has there been anything about him that really stands out to you that you like about him?
Well, he's a really calm and collected guy. He's not, you know, he's not one to snap at you real quick. He just shows the type of coach he is. He's real laid back. He doesn't get nervous. You know, that's a good thing to see in your coaching staff. You don't want guys to get nervous, you know, when things start breaking down. But you can just tell he has a great demeanor about him.
And, Chauncey, you have a few corners that have been out there, Keon Lynn and Rashard Anderson, have been playing for the last couple seasons. A guy like Joe Nassib has stepped up in the spring game. When you see that there's already guys that are returning starters and you see other guys that are stepping up as you have to wait until you get an opportunity to practice, do you feel like you have that opportunity to get on the field this year, or do you feel like you have to wait?
Well, you know, I feel like I definitely can get on the field this year. You know, I think I'm ready. I'm going to keep getting ready as much as possible before I go up there. You know, I feel like I'm the same size as a lot of the guys playing right now at the corner position and things like that. So I feel like physically I'm ready. It's just a matter of getting mentally prepared and getting those reps and things like that when it comes time to practice.
How comfortable are you in playing safety if you were asked to come off the corner position?
Well, you know, growing up I played corner, but if the time comes to play safety, then, you know, you got to do what you got to do to help the team. And it's not a problem to play safety at all. And so if I get put there, then as long as I can get on the field.
And, you know, when you look at corner versus safety, what would you say, being a guy who's played in the secondary for a while now, what are the most distinct differences to you between a corner and a safety?
Well, I'd say the difference between the two is, you know, playing the run in some situations. You know, the safety is a lot more involved with the run than the corners. The corners on the outside, you know, corners you're more one-on-one some of the time. You know, you have to worry about more outside routes and things like that. Safety, you know, you have to worry about both the run and the pass. The corners, you know, you most of the time just want to make sure you have your man.
And I want to get off the field here for a second before we, you know, wrap up here and just – speak with you about what coaches have been there for you in your life before. You know, as you get ready for Syracuse, what coaches do you remember that really helped you out?
Most of my whole coaching staff from high school, they really had a great impact on me, making sure I've been prepared going into the season. You know, they've always pushed me as hard as they know I can take it, and they just making sure I won't be anything but successful in high school and also when I go to Syracuse.
What will you remember the most about your days in high school? Is there a specific game or a specific play that you had? What are you going to remember?
I'll probably remember our state championship run in 2010 when we won You know, that was a great year. We had a great group of guys, and we were a well-rounded team, very humble team, and, you know, we had the guys around to make us go all the way, and we all believed. So I believe that was one of our greatest seasons.
When you look at this team, the notion that's come up is that Syracuse has this family atmosphere. Have you felt that from the team?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, you go up there, you can even see with the commits that I'm coming in with, you know, we've been talking to each other a lot, you know, since the spring game, so we're already becoming familiar with each other, you know, just getting close to each other like we should be, so it's just a great atmosphere. We're already going to be comfortable when we're all there during the fall.
And what was it like for you to be able to go to the spring game and be able to talk to these guys and see them? A lot of you came out. You got to go out on the field together. What was it like to spend some time together on the field and kind of look around and know that the guys standing next to you could be on the field with you soon?
Oh, you know, it was a great feeling to be with those new guys coming in. You know, they're all great kids, and I'm excited to go in with them. It's great to see the guys that you're going to be lining up next to them, you know, on defense and also on offense. But, you know, it's just a great feeling to know you have a great group of guys coming in with you.
And as far as the people in your life outside of the sport, outside of football, looking at those that have been around you, that have been there for you, who really sticks out to you that's been a positive influence in your life?
I definitely have to say my parents. You know, they've been there with me from the jump, no matter what sport I wanted to play or what I wanted to do with my life. They've always been supportive of me and just making sure whatever I do, I'd be successful and at the highest level. And, you know, they've always pushed me, and I'm glad they've done that. Made me into the man I am today.
Looking around on the other side of the field, the guy might not be playing with you, but he will be on the field at some point, and Ashton Broyles, coming from the same place, same high school. What do you know about him and his game that you think people should know?
Well, I know that Ashton is a very fierce competitor. You know, he's not going to stop until he gets what he wants on the field. You know, playing high school ball with him, he's just a go-getter. He has the right attitude you want to have for a player, and he's just going to do whatever he needs to do to get the win.
Are you happy that he's on your side?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And the last thing I want to ask you, Chauncey, here before I let you go, is a mission statement for yourself. As a football player, as a person, student-athlete, what do you want people to define you as at Syracuse?
I want them to know I'm a hard worker. I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Well, I appreciate that, and I really appreciate you coming on. It's good to have you on the show, and obviously I'm looking forward to having you back here on the show, and thank you for the time that you took.
Thank you. No problem. Thank you for having me.
That, once again, was Chauncey Skizm coming into Syracuse in the 2013 freshman class into that new Fred Reed secondary, which will feature the likes of Keon Lynn, Brandon Reddish, Jeremy Wilkes, hopefully a Darrell Eskridge for the team if he comes back from injury and surgery and is able to play, a guy like Richie Desir. So looking at the talent that is there for the secondary, Chauncey Skizm looking to get out there and have an effect on the team, and he will have an opportunity to get out very soon to show what he can to Fred Reed and to the rest of the coaching staff to see where he's going to mark himself for this season coming up. Always a pleasure to talk with Chauncey Skizm, very nice guy, and had the opportunity to meet him at the spring game and now talk with him here for you to hear, and it was just truly a wonderful experience to talk to somebody that's so nice and wants to get out there and work hard. And the same thing goes for each of these guys. Isaiah Johnson coming up next after the break here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com, part of the Dan Satora Broadcast Media family. Zeke is coming up. You don't want to miss it.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves and how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carey and Daly Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, You can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at CareyandDalyPT.com. That's C-A-R-E-Y and D-A-L-E-Y P-T.com.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com. Back here after hearing special messages from Carvel DeWitt and Carey and Daly Physical Therapy. Special thanks also to DrySig Apparel and FanHands.com. On the line right now with us is Isaiah Johnson. He likes to be called Zeke. You'll find out why and the background on that nickname and so much more after we get into it here. But first, let's welcome him here to the show. Zeke, how you doing?
Good. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well and happy to have you here. Isaiah, first and foremost, let's talk about that name Zeke and where it came from. You and I spoke about this recently, but share with everyone where Zeke came from.
Well, when I was younger, my father gave it to me after the basketball player Isaiah Thomas. And the doctor told my father that I would be tall, and he didn't want me to have the same name, so we switched up the spelling from Z-E-K-E to Z-E-E-K.
And, you know, when you look back on that moment and the connection to a guy like Isaiah Thomas, when you look back on your name, are you happy that that's the name that you were given?
Yes, I am, because it's very unique. It really explains who I really am.
And how so? How does it explain who you are?
Because Zeke is just, it's more than just a nickname. It's like the way I live. There's a difference between Isaiah and Zeke. Isaiah is the more laid-back person. You won't rarely hear from Isaiah. But Zeke, he'll always be around. He's laughing. He's telling jokes. He's in your face. He's loud. There's just a lot of things that Zeke does that Isaiah doesn't.
And, you know, you talk about that in like a separation of yourself. You know, like you said, Isaiah, the more laid-back, Zeke is the one out there. Is this, you know, the type of person that, you know, when you separate your personality, why do you do that? You know, when it comes to Isaiah, why say Isaiah's laid back, Zeke is the one that you're going to see out there laughing and joking around? You know, how do you separate that, and why do you separate that?
I separate it because sometimes, well, on the football field, it's Zeke, because, you know, you just have to have fun. You got to do what you got to do, but it's also a business. Now, sometimes Zeke can get carried away, and maturity is set in, so I had to put in Isaiah. Isaiah's more mature. He does things in a mature way. He figures things out more than Zeke does. So, you know, I'm 18 years old, but I still have a kid's mind or sometimes, and I can still be a parent, or not a parent, but a young adult. And I just believe when you separate the two, you get better out of it. I can't always be Zeke, because people won't take me serious. Now I just change it to Isaiah because I understand that not everything is a game, not everything's a joke, so that's why I separate.
And looking at on the fields, what can Syracuse expect from you, from Zeke, from that explosiveness? What do you want Syracuse fans to be prepared for?
I just want them to be prepared for me to work hard. That's all I'm going to do, work hard and do the best that I can do. I don't want to let anybody down. I don't want to pick anybody up too high. I just want to be, who I'm destined to be, where God put me in his life. There's a lot of things that people have told me, oh, you can be the next Chandler. I mean, yes, I can, but I don't want to be. I want to be a normal person. I'm Zeke, like I said, so I don't want to be Chandler. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's a great name to be behind. He left a great legacy, and I want to continue that legacy. So I just think I'm just going to give all my effort and work hard. That's what the fans are going to see.
When you get those comparisons, you know, when you see that, what is it like for you? What is it about your game that you think, you know, compares in any way? I mean, Syracuse has had the Dwight Freeneys and the Chandler Jones. I mean, they've had success before on the defensive line. Deion Goggins being a successful guy, a guy that I think is deserving of the NFL. So when you see that success and coming behind it, what is it about your style, your play, that you think can make you successful and another name to remember?
My length is one to remember, and my speed, my quick feet. I think I'm very unique for somebody to be 6'5", 280. It's like not a lot of people that you see my weight and my size that can run as well as I do. And that's I have to give all that thanks to my high school coach, Dwayne Thomas, and Flash Tran. He's the one who made who I am today. So and I also have to thank God and my father for all that. But when I get them comparisons, it's just like I feel as though sometimes people put me on a high pedestal, and I don't really mind that, but I don't want to be compared to somebody that I'm not. I want to be my own person.
You brought up your coaching staff, but you also brought up your father, and you brought up God, and I want to go to both of them. Talk to me about your relationship with your dad and what he has meant to you, not just in football, but in life.
Words can't describe what that guy has done in my life, honestly. Me and my father, we have the thickest relationship. You won't see one without seeing the other. We go everywhere together. It's just great. I really can't put it into words how me and my father are. We've gone through some tough times, some great times, some ups and downs. That's what a father and son relationship should be going through. I mean, of course, we're going to have our arguments, but we get through them. It's just, we just love being around each other. That's my best friend, you know. Sometimes people are not as fortunate as I am to have a father like I do, because he's a great man. And words really just can't describe how I feel about him. Like, sometimes I just want to hug him and never let him go. And there's just things that, there's moments that we can go out and we can go out, have some fun, and joke around, and nobody else will understand why we're laughing so much, because we have that connection. I mean, he's right here with me while I'm doing this interview. He had to turn around a little bit. I don't believe there's a father out there that competes with mine, with relationship-wise, with his son. We have the best relationship that you'll ever see. He'll be at every game. After every game, he'll be the first person I give a hug to, a handshake. First person I still kiss my father. That's how deep it is. So, when you bring up this topic, it's very emotional, because me and my father, we've been through so much. Like, you don't even understand. We talk about everything, no matter what it is: girls, money, cars, jobs, house, just life. He's my life leader. Not a lot of people have those in their lives. Some people just have a mother. Some people just have a father. And I just have my father right now. He's Superman to me, and that's something serious that I take very serious.
Two things that you just said to me that stick out is calling your dad Superman. It's the same thing that I said about my dad, and seeing him in a hospital bed one time when he had to have surgery. You know, I said that's Superman. You know, you can't imagine that. And the other thing that you said is you still kiss your father. I'm 27 years old. Every time I leave, I give my dad a kiss on the cheek, and I tell him that I love him. So, you know, I can definitely relate with you in that respect, and respect you for that. And so when it comes to making your decision, when it comes to figuring out where you want to go to school, where you want to learn, where you want to play football, bring me through that time with your father and what it was like to select that, because, you know, people see the side of it of he chose Syracuse, but what was it like for you and your dad to be on this journey? Because not every kid gets to have a bunch of schools set in front of them and make an option like that and have choices like that.
Honestly, my dad got me through the whole thing. When I was in, this is my second year playing football. This will be my third as I go into my freshman year at Syracuse. So my 10th grade year, I just was just like, I'm a basketball player. I can't do this. And my dad said, okay. He did not like that I did that, because he's always, my grandfather, my uncles, they were football stars in New York, upper New York, like Buffalo, and he just didn't like that I was a basketball player, but he still supported me. We had our disputes, we had our disagreements, but he still supported me no matter what it was. He was there. The reason I made my decision June or July, somewhere in there. And I talked to him about it. We prayed about it. We prayed to God. It was a very tough time. The reason why I'm calling is because it's not too far from home, and it's not too far from family. I have family maybe an hour and a half away. That's in Buffalo. And like I said, I'm a very close relationship. I have a very close relationship with my father, and better yet, my family. I think family is the foundation of an athlete, and I think that's more important than anything. I think athletes nowadays don't see family as much as they should. And granted, I don't see my family as much as I should, but I still love them. As soon as I see my cousin Shane Johnson, he goes to Pitt. As soon as I see him, me and him, we hug for maybe 5 minutes because we don't see each other so often. I mean, family is another thing that's very important to me, and I just don't take that lightly. Sometimes, you know, every family has their stuff that they go through. Everybody, nobody's family is perfect, but it's the families that make it through and that you know that it's real. Because some families, you know, you have the people that don't go around each other often or talk about each other behind their back. I mean, that's just what it comes to today. But family is very important to me, and I just believe that sometimes you need family to fall back on. Like people always say, blood is thicker than water.
And mentioning one of those members of your family with Shane, what will that game be like, the fact that he plays for Pitt and you have the opportunity to get on the field for Syracuse? If that happens this coming season, your first time out, what's it going to be like to go up against your cousin?
It's going to be very emotional, like I said. But I'll call Cuse. I don't care. If you're in my way, you better get out of my way, because my cousin, he also plays offensive line. So it's going to be very competitive, actually. No matter win, loss, or draw, family is still going to be family. I'm still going to love my cousin. So, but I just wanted to say Cuse was going to win that game anyway.
And I would expect you to say nothing less than what you just said about Syracuse, you know, with playing for them. Looking at your relationship, we talked about your father, and now I want to talk to you about the other side of it, your relationship with God. It's something that I've always put forward in all the work that I've ever done. Don't shy away from the fact that I believe in God. I never one of those people to try and push somebody to believe or force someone to believe. I just don't hide the fact that I do. So I have a lot of respect when I get to talk to someone who's unafraid to say it themselves. Share with not only me, but with the people listening, your relationship with God.
My relationship with God is close. I pray every morning and every night. I go to church, just not every weekend, you know. I mean, I don't have anything against church. I just, sometimes it does get busy. But I always make time for God. I always pray. The reason why me and God's relationship is tight is because of the things that I've been going through in my life, and I need somebody to turn to. Friends disappear. Family isn't always there. And, you know, sometimes it's just, you just need somebody. And God has always been there for me.
When you look forward and you look at what you want to do in your life, is there anything about the college life that is going to be a culture shock, scares you, you know, any type of feeling in that sense? Or do you feel you're ready for it? You know, you and I have talked about the field. We've talked about books. You've mentioned girls. This is going to be a different atmosphere for you for sure, because college, you know, is that for, you know, however long you stay there. What are your thoughts going into it? Any fears, concerns, anything like that?
The only thought that I have is just get my head in the book. I'm going to read more than ever. Because where I come from is very different. My senior year, half of my junior year and senior year of high school was online classes, so I just had to readapt back to reading in books. And that's my biggest, I'm not going to say fear, but I want to say maybe I'm a little nervous about getting back into the books. But nothing out there is too big for me. So I'm just going to try my hardest, and I'm going to get the grades that I need to get.
Well, I definitely appreciate that, and can, you know, respect that from you, the student side of student athlete. Let's look at that game, the spring game. You had the opportunity to come up. It was our first time to meet face to face and sit down for a little bit. What can you say from what you saw in the spring game, what you took from that?
I'm actually really excited to get on the field with these guys. These guys seem pumped up to go. I've seen a lot of things that that I have to adapt to, like the calls, and you know that's just usual. And I've seen a lot of great things from the D line. I've seen Bromley working hard. I've seen Raymond working hard. I see Welsh working hard. There's a lot of people that are working hard and doing what they have to do, you know. But I just feel as though the spring game was a great opportunity for me. It was a great opportunity for me meeting you face to face for the first time. So I just wanted to say thank you. And I just wondered, when I was at the spring game, I really just was looking for the recruits. And like, I know you're probably about to talk about this, and I'm really excited about coming in with the guys that I'm coming in with, like Corey and Kimball and Austin and all those guys and Chauncey and Brisley. I'm just really excited about getting in and on the field and in the weight room with those guys, and I'm still going to try to be a leader with the classes coming in. So the spring football weekend was a success.
And I appreciate that too. You know, it's usually me saying thank you to you know the people that I have the opportunity to see. To hear the thank you back those are things that I'll never forget. So I thank you for thanking me for that opportunity. It was definitely my pleasure, completely my pleasure, to be able to, you know, sit down and talk to you and talk to a lot of the guys that you mentioned at the spring game, and you know, really get a feel for what you guys are in person and what you want to achieve. And looking at this team, looking at this class coming in for you, what are you taking from these guys? You know, you mentioned Mitch Kimball, you mentioned Austin Wilson, Corey Cooper, I believe you stated Brisley Esteem. What are you thinking when it comes to this class? How would you describe them if you were asked to put down on a piece of paper what this class defines?
I would describe them as, if anything, electrifying. I think Brisley can electrify the game. I think Corey can do it. I think Kimball can do it. I think Austin can do it. I think Corey can do it. Anybody that's coming in, I think he can do it if we just work hard. I think we can electrify the game. Yeah, the game going to be faster, but I think all those guys can get adjusted to it. I think there's a lot of people out there that doubt the class that's coming in and saying that we're not going to be as good as people think. But I also believe that we can turn some heads and actually come to the ACC and start kicking some heads.
The ACC going to be starting sooner than later. The competition definitely going to be out there up against Syracuse, teams like Clemson, teams like North Carolina that have had success, teams like Florida State that are out there recruiting all the time and really pushing to be one of the best teams, trying to turn their history in the right direction. With everything that you're seeing with the ACC and what's to come, and teams like Miami, these teams that Syracuse used to play, Miami, Virginia Tech, Boston College, that are back on the horizon, when you look at the competition that's ahead of you, what is your thought going into this season?
My thought is hard work. You know, I can't say anything about, when I get on the field, I'm going to be a problem. No. Because I have to practice makes perfect. And, you know, there's not a perfect football player. Everybody makes mistakes. So all I have to do and all I want to do is just work hard. I want to work hard and get on the field. I want to work hard and get some time. I want to work hard to start. I want to work hard to be the best that I can be. I want to work hard to be the best D lineman. And yeah, we have some great D linemen. I'm not saying that I am the best D lineman. And I'm not saying that I'm the worst, but all I'm saying is that I'm going to come in and work hard, because the ACC is not an easy conference. No conference is easy. Everybody's out to get that one thing, and that's that championship or a bowl or a win. You know, everybody wants to win. Everybody thinks that they're a winner. So I don't have all the talent, but I can outwork somebody that doesn't have that has all the talent and still be better than them, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. I think that that's That's a big statement that you just made there about talent, that, yeah, talent's there, but you have to work hard in order to get the job done. Looking at this team right now, looking at the group that's out there, you mentioned the defensive line. Who is it on the defensive line that you've built a relationship with or you try to keep in touch with? Is there someone on the line that you try to stay in touch with and to learn from on your way to get on that field?
There's two people, actually. It's Jake Bromley and it's Eric Kuhn. Me and Eric, we always talk about, you know, always talk about playing games or whatever, like 2K, and we always battle or whatever, and he talks to me about the D-line and Coach Dallas and stuff like that. Me and Jake Bromley, we just talk about working hard, you know. Jake Bromley and I, we had a couple conversations about business. When I mean by business, I mean the field, and how you have to work hard, because if you don't work hard, nothing easy is going to come. So those are the two guys that I'm going to look up to the most. They have more experience than I do. And when it comes to it, I believe maybe we can all be on the same field at the same time. But my first step is I got to work hard. I got to prove to the coaches that I can be somebody that they want me to be.
Another player that you have a relationship with coming from the same state that you are, Jerome Smith. You've always said a lot of positive things about Jerome and his work ethic. What can you share about Jerome here on the show as you're here with me for the first time on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora? What do you want to say about Jerome Smith?
Jerome's a great, great person, you know. His work ethic is hard. He doesn't know anything but to work hard. He's actually a great mentor, and he's a great football player. Well, not a great football player, a good football player. He's a running back, so he has to work hard. He has to work harder than anybody on the field. What I've seen in the spring game, he's very explosive. He's ready. I think he's ready for the next level. Jerome isn't he's not afraid of anything, you know? Sometimes people are afraid to take that next level or afraid to go to the NFL, but not Jerome. He's another one of those guys that's just ready. Like, he's ready for whatever, no matter what. We got to play in dirt in a back alley somewhere. Jerome be the first one. So he has a lot of heart and he has a lot of courage. So that's what I think about Jerome.
Coming from Delaware, you've made the statement with me before, you know, you coming from there, Jerome coming from there, that there's not a lot to do. Bring us through a virtual tour of where you're at in Delaware and what's around you. Let's see if we can find something for you to do. What's around your area in Delaware?
Delaware is small. There's nothing to do. I mean, I've been here for a long time, so I mean, if you come here, you'd be like, oh, Delaware isn't that bad, but it's really nothing to do. Delaware is small. You see the same people. There's like movie theaters. There's a mall. And then after that, it's nothing. So once you go to the movies and go to the mall, it's not a lot you can do in Delaware. And then you have a couple parties, UD, but, you know, I'm not a partier, so I don't really go to UD to do any of that. So Delaware is basically it's not even a big state. It's one of the smallest states. It's like the second smallest state, and there's nothing to do.
Well, Syracuse looks to be an area that there'll be a little bit more for you to do, and I actually know that Austin Wilson, who has earrings, brought Sammy Marshall, who has yet to make a decision on where he wants to go, but the wide receiver in the 2014 high school class that would be going to college football after that, he got his earring at Destiny USA. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different things for him to do, a lot of different things for you to do. I think it's funny how they come in for spring game and get an earring right there at Destiny USA, but you can get an earring there, you can get in a race car there, go through a museum there, go to an IMAX theater, play golf on a screen without having to go outside, Toby Keith's if you like to listen to country music. So I think there's a lot of things to keep you busy up here, and the mall's only getting bigger, so I don't know if you like to go out to malls and whatnot, but I'm sure there'll be a couple things for you to do. I'd like to see you in one of those small race cars, though.
Oh, I love go-karting, so I would do that.
Well, I got that annual pass, and I'm not convinced that I can keep myself from crashing against it, so I might have to Might have to give you a couple trips out there and maybe just stay off in the back a little bit and take a breather and whatnot. I don't know if they want me out on the track. Before I let you go, Isaiah, though, I want to talk to you about Coach Doust. This is somebody who obviously you're going to spend a lot of time with. You've spent a lot of time talking with already. Your defensive line coach, he has been elevated to special teams coordinator, assistant head coach, and the defensive line coach. So definitely accolades that I think are well-deserving for a very nice person and a very hard-working guy. What can you say about Coach Doust?
Coach Doust, first, I want to congratulate him and on his promotion and everything because he's a great coach. So I just want to say congratulations, Coach Doust. Second hand, I would like to say he's a great coach, great D-line coach. He knows technique very well. He knows the fundamentals. He's a great guy. He's another mentor of mine that I think me and him, we're going to have a great conversation and a great relationship and things like that. And I just believe that me and him is going to be like another father son relationship. So I just say that I can't wait to be a part of the room that he's in, and can't wait for him to teach me a couple things.
Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate what you shared today here on Wake Up Call with Dan Totaro. Once again, defensive lineman Isaiah Johnson, call him Zeke. He will be in Syracuse early, coming on May 18th and getting himself started in classes in the second summer session. So coming a little bit earlier than everybody else. Always appreciate talking to you, Zeke. Very happy to finally be able to bring this to the listeners here on WakeUpCallDT.com. I can't thank you enough for that.
Anytime. You know, I'm just a text away. I text right back.
I know that's true. All right, well, I'll talk to you very soon, and thank you for everything. And enjoy Delaware while you have it, and we'll see you in Syracuse soon enough.
Well, thank you for having me.
Happy to have Isaiah Zeke Johnson on the line. Also, I want to thank Wayne Williams and Chauncey Schism, and thank all of you for being on the line. It means so much to me to be thanked for what I do or to have somebody come on the show and thank me for having them, because this could be a cliche thing that people say, but the pleasure is mine to be able to talk to everyone that I've talked to in my career and just really get to know these people, to hear things like what Isaiah Johnson said about still kissing his father. That's something that means so much to me, because every time I see my dad, I give him a kiss on the cheek. When I say goodbye, I give him a kiss on the cheek. And that's just something that I've always done. It's something to show love for family. And to hear that from Isaiah Johnson, for him to share that, for Chauncey Schism to share his history, for Wayne Williams to share his passion of getting out of Brooklyn, just everything that I've been able to share with you today from these gentlemen that they've been open to share, I want to thank them, and I want to thank you for listening in and truly seeing that this is where sports meets life. And before I let you go, I want to just give a special thanks to Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy, and also to Carvel DeWitt, to Dreisig Apparel, and to FanHands.com for everything that they've done to be a part of this family, to help make it possible for me to bring these stories to life, to have these people come on the air, the men, women, and children of the world that are connected to sports, to talk with you and show you that there's so much more than just sports, that there's so much behind Floyd Little, Jim Boeheim, Joe Theismann, Chauncey Schism, Isaiah Johnson, Wayne Williams, Austin Wilson, all of these guys, Alec Lemon, Justin Pugh, to have the experience of learning more from who they are and to have it right here on Wake Up Call with Dan Totaro on WakeUpCallDT.com and through everything that I do with Dan Totaro Broadcast Media. I can't thank you enough for being a part of it, and I can't thank everyone that's been a part of the family of Dan Totaro Broadcast Media enough. You truly mean so much. And I ask you to do me a favor here until the next time we talk and throughout the rest of your life. Smile a little bit more, take some time to laugh, and enjoy what God gave you. God bless. I'll talk to you very soon here on Wake Up Call with Dan Totaro on WakeUpCallDT.com and throughout Dan Totaro Broadcast Media. Take care.